This is the story of a man who might be called the spokesman for the American dream. He was an author, and he wrote books, and his name was Horatio Alger.
This is Inheritance, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with the American Legion. Stories out of that great fabric of visions, struggles, and accomplishments of the American past. Stories of our inheritance.
Who was Horatio Alger? Did he really live? Was he a legend, as some people think? He built dreams, but this builder of dreams was not a legend. He was a man, and he lived and loved and died. There are tears to his story and some laughter. Come back with us now to the middle of the last century, to Harvard College in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Come in.
Horatio, want to meet a pretty girl?
A what? Where, Alex?
Oh, not so fast. This isn't just any girl. It's my cousin Horatio. She's come for a visit.
Patience?
None other. Patience Stires. That fair young cousin of that brilliant young scholar, that pride of Harvard, that charming young man who stands before you. Alex Chapman. I bow, sir.
You're crazy, Alex. Where is she?
Downstairs. You want to meet her?
If she's like her picture.
Her picture is but a faint copy of herself. She is, to use an image...
Come on, Alex. Introduce me. Hello, Miss Stires.
Hello, Mr. Alger.
Oh, sparkling conversation. It's a pity Emerson and Thoreau can't be here to enjoy it.
You are fairer than your picture, Miss Stires.
Thank you, Mr. Alger.
Better, much better. Let me be sure you have another Sally in you, and I'll leave you alone.
Would it please you to walk around the grounds a bit, Miss Stires?
Thank you. I should love to, Mr. Alger.
What have they done? Here I play Cupid, and they leave me and walk away. If I were Cupid, I'd send an arrow after them. No, on second thought, I see I don't have to.
A boy named Horatio, a girl named Patience, and an autumn under the elms of Cambridge, Massachusetts. That night, Horatio Alger wrote to his father.
Dear Father, I think that today I met the girl I shall marry. Her name is Patience Stires. Her eyes are hazel and sad, and she wears a yellow bonnet.
Ruin your career. Why, she's a baby. She's not even old enough to walk outside by herself.
Father...
You have promised, Horatio. You can go somewhere. But this is puppy love. Don't waste your time, boy. Don't waste yourself. It's time to marry when you're older.
Take my hand.
When are you coming back, Patience?
When? I don't know, Horatio. I only know this autumn sings in me. And there may never be another like it.
Patience, let's marry in spite of my father.
No, Horatio. Not now. Later, perhaps. If there is a later. You have much to do, my dear. You are going to become a great writer. You need your father now. I can't walk into a family that doesn't want me.
He's a fool.
Oh, hush, Horatio, hush.
I'll make you a promise, Patience. I'll write you a book. Because of you and for you.
I should like that.
It will be a fine book. You will be proud of it.
I shall look for your book, Horatio.
And then I'll come for you, Patience, and marry you.
I must go now. Goodbye. Goodbye, Horatio. Think of me. I shall think of you.
October turned to winter and winter to spring. and in the spring, Horatio Alger graduated from Harvard. He was going to write. He would write literature. He would write a fine book for patients. He gave some sermons in his father's church. He was liked and even thought of becoming a minister. And yet, he could not forget the girl with the sad hazel eyes. And he could not forget her voice.
Write me your book, Horatio. I shall look for it.
And so, Horatio Alger set himself to his task. In a letter, he confided to his friend, Alex.
Tell your dear cousin I have started her book. When it is published and I am famous, I shall come for her. I truly believe, Alex, that it will be literature. Somehow, I feel it. And, Alex, ask her, please, to answer my letters.
You waste your time trying to write a book.
It is not a waste of time, Father. You'll be proud of me.
I should be prouder of you if you would serve God. What about that girl you were running with when you were at Harvard? Do you see her?
No.
'Tis good. I wrote her a note. I told her she had no right to spoil a man's career.
You what?
You need not question the note. It was in good taste. It simply stated the facts.
So that's why she had not answered his letters. All right, he would show them. He would write his book. He would publish, and then he would marry Patience. But the words didn't come, and desperately Horatio Alger began to seek. He had to write something. He had to publish. He could no longer waste time. And so, because he could not write the book, he wrote another book. He described it in a letter to a Boston publisher.
It's a book for boys. I'm calling it Ragged Dick. It's the story of a poor boy who dreams of success and by hard work and perseverance finds it, marries, and lives happily ever after.
Ragged Dick, Horatio Alger's own dream, projected onto a young hero who works hard, marries and lives happily ever after. He finishes the manuscript and takes it into Boston to Mr. A.K. Loring, a prominent Boston publisher.
Mr. Alger, it's good. It's mighty good.
Thank you, sir.
Strikes the right chord. Boys will love it. Shows them they have something to strive for. Yes, I'm going to publish it. And, Alger, I want you to start on a sequel.
Well, sir, I had just thought to try my hand at this. There is another book I want to write.
Oh, you'll get to it, Mr. Alger. You'll get to it. Now, about a title for the sequel.
A sequel to Ragged Dick. There were to be 100 sequels, but that was in the future. Today was more important. 2 books. He would go to New York. He would become a real writer. He rented a small room on 26th Street and settled down to finishing Fame and Fortune. He intended to follow it with a serious writing. But he was not to have his peace, for Ragged Dick was on the bookstands, and its success was tremendous.
I gave it to my kid for Christmas. Shows how a boy can start anywhere and get ahead. That Alger really knows his stuff.
Fame and Fortune appeared. The ovation was even greater. Printings began to mount into staggering figures. The newsboys at the corner had a word to say about it.
Oh, sure, I read it. It's about a fella just like me. He sold papers, and look what happened to him. Sort of makes you feel like you're really doing something on the street corner.
Advances, commitments, more books. Always the same story with variations. The success astonished him. And he belittled it. He wrote to his friend, Robert Ammer.
It will not be long before I get started on a novel that I hope will find a place in the company of fine writing.
Alger was not giving up on his dream, but unwittingly he was filling the dreams of others. For he was providing an answer to the vacuum of faith left by the Civil War, helping to formulate the ambitions of thousands of displaced and rootless youngsters who, so far as they knew, had nothing to look forward to. Alger held up the mirror of destiny to the poorest boy and convinced him that the prosperous image he saw was his very own. Yes, there was laughter in the life of Horatio Alger, and there were tears. But now, there was fame.
Paper! Get your paper! Oh, hello, Mr. Alger.
Hello.
My name is Wing. I recognized you.
Glad to meet you, Wing.
Oh, your stories are great, Mr. Alger. I read them all. Try and Trust, From Farm Boy to Senator, Andy Grant's Pluck, Slow and Sure, Dan the Newsboy, Striving for Fortune.
Wait a minute.
All the fellas like them.
All the fellas? Where?
At the Newsboy's home where I live.
The Newsboy's home?
Yeah. A lot of us live there. We can get a bed for 3 cents a night. Now, we all work hard. And someday, we're going to be successful. Just like in your books.
Wing, take me to the Newsboy's home. I'd like to look around.
The Newsboy's lodging home, where a newsboy for a few pennies could get a lodging for the night. He entered. He looked around. Under one roof, he saw the people he had been writing about.
Hello, Mr. Alger. My name's Charlie O'Connor. I'm the superintendent of the home.
Hello, Mr. O'Connor.
Well, we've got all your books here, Mr. Alger. They're great.
Thank you, Mr. O'Connor.
I suppose it's material you're wanting. Well, now, we've got plenty of it here. And if it's what they're thinking about that you'd like to know, just ask them. They're good boys, and they're honest boys, and they work hard. They'll tell you their dreams once you get to know them.
Horatio Alger began making real friends of them. Not for material. He now had more than he could use. Alger spent so much time at the Newsboys' home that one day Charlie O'Connor got an idea.
Mr. Alger.
Yes, Charlie.
I've been thinking about you.
Yes?
Are you married?
No. No, I'm not married.
Well, why don't you come and live here, Mr. Alger? The boys like you. You could work here, sleep here. Sort of make it your headquarters.
Live here? Charlie, that's not a bad idea. Not a bad idea at all. I think I'll do just that.
Best-selling author in America, living at the Newsboys' home. Well, why not? These were the people he was writing about, weren't they? He moved in and became a pillar of the home. There are tears to his story, and there is laughter. There is warmth, but there is also loneliness.
Well, good night, Mr. Alger.
Good night, Charlie.
All the boys in?
Yes.
You're just going to sit there?
For a while.
Well, good night.
Hi, Charlie.
The day is done. The writing is over. The appointments have been kept. And the waves of bootblacking boys and newsboys have returned from the streets and are asleep. It is at times like this that loneliness keeps an appointment with memory.
I shall look for your book, Horatio.
Patience.
He had forgotten. No, not forgotten, postponed. Too late. No, it was never too late. Hadn't he written that in all his books? But the book. Where was it? Tomorrow. Tomorrow he would write it.
Letter for you, Horatio.
Thanks, Charlie.
My dear son, I have just come from a visit to a Miss Stiers, for whom, if recollection serves, you evinced an attachment when you were a boy. She has been living in Concord and has come here in the hope of seeing you again. The woman is seriously ill. And I would be derelict in my duty if I failed to comply with her request and inform you of her desire.
In the name of the Lord, what's the matter?
I've got to leave, Charlie. Help me get my bag, quick.
What is it?
I have a friend, and she needs me.
Patients dying, somehow managing to get the South Natick to see him. Patients caring that much. What a fool he'd been. He must get there in time. He must. Where did the time go? It was only a little while before at Harvard. He wasn't much older. Yes, he was much older. He had written 70 books, but he had skipped one. Where was it? Patience.
South Natick! South Natick!
You have come too late, Horatio. It was this morning.
Dear Lord, where is she? I must see her.
In the upstairs room.
Horatio Alger returned to New York. He rode in a carriage over the cobblestones, and a newsboy shouted his greeting from the corner.
Hello, Mr. Alger!
And the carriage took him to Fulton Street, and he got out, went past the offices of the New York Sun, and slowly entered the newsboy's lodging home.
Sit down, Horatio.
No, Charlie, there's no more time. I'm leaving.
Leaving? Where?
Perhaps my old lodging. I have a book to write.
Why not write it here?
No, Charlie. It's a different kind of book. One I promised to an old friend a long time ago.
Horatio Alger went back to his small room on 26th Street. On the mantel, he put his miniature bust of William Shakespeare. He got out his silk dressing gown and his slippers. He put his paper and pen on the desk. The book. What would he call it? What could he call it? What had he been talking about all his life? What was the story of his life? Tomorrow. That's what it was about, tomorrow, and that's what he would call his book. And he sat down and tried to write. Tomorrow. But there were no words, for there was no tomorrow. There was only today. A day passed, a week, 2 weeks. Where were the words? Where was tomorrow? He would find it, he would find it. But there were ghosts in the room, and they would not leave it still enough for him to think.
Horatio, want to meet a pretty girl?
Pretty girl? Yes. Yes, Alex. Where?
Hello, Mr. Alger.
Patience?
I am 17, and my eyes are hazel and sad, and I wear a yellow bonnet.
Alex? Alex.
Ruin your career? She's a baby. She's not even old enough to walk outside by herself. Listen to me, boy. Listen to me.
Take my hand.
I'll write a book, and you will be in it.
I shall look for your book, Horatio. When, my dear?
Tomorrow.
When?
Tomorrow.
When, Horatio?
Tomorrow. Tomorrow. Patience, wait for me. Wait for me.
There he is. He's been having a terrible time, poor old fellow.
All right, come on, sir. Easy. The ambulance is downstairs. Easy does it. Bring the stretcher over here. Yeah, that's it. Easy now.
They took him to the hospital. They didn't know who he was. A man suddenly grown old in a rooming house. They were going to put him in the mercy ward. The story has it that a well-dressed man in a dark suit followed the ambulance to the hospital. He was tall and had dark hair and looked successful. He spoke to the nurse at the desk.
Give him a private room. I'll pay the bill.
Are you a relative?
No, not really. I used to be a newsboy. He used to ride past my post every day. We used to greet one another.
He was released from the hospital quite some time later. No home, no family. Where to go? South Natick? No. Cambridge? Yes. Yes, Cambridge. There are elms in Cambridge. There was an October in Cambridge a long time ago. Of course, Cambridge. He has a sister there. She was a widow and she would take care of him. He needed care.
Horatio, do you wish to walk today?
Not today. I need more strength. And when I'm strong again, I have much writing to do.
But you've written enough, Horatio. 100 books.
No. Just one book. Just one book.
Of course. Here, let me tuck that blanket in.
The pillows were soft against his head, and the warmth of the blanket soothed a tired body. A little more strength, a little more time. If only patience were here.
Horatio, there's a Mr. Haig here to see you.
Haig?
Yes. Says he's from the Newsboys' home in New York.
Ask him in, please.
Hello, Mr. Alger.
Hello, Mr. Haig.
The Newsboys heard of your illness. Word has a way of reaching them, and so over 200 of them drew up this petition of thanks to you. Here are their signatures. They asked me to come and bring it to you.
The Newsboys. They remembered.
Very much, Mr. Alger. You know, you have more sons than any man in the world.
Thank you, Mr. Haig. Thank you very much.
The Newsboys remembered. How nice of them. Then it wasn't all wasted. He had meant something to them. He could almost see them now, as if they were in the room. How strange.
Hello, Mr. Alger.
Hello, Tim.
Hi there, Mr. Alger.
Wing, hello.
The little room was becoming crowded. Why, look, there was Charlie O'Connor.
Hello, Horatio.
Hello, Charlie.
They were all there. Why? Had they come to say goodbye? Look, so many of them.
Hello, Mr. Alger.
Better, Mr. Alger.
Some of them are older. They don't look the same. Some of them are wearing fine suits, and their hair is combed, and their faces are clean.
You'll be all right. Take care of yourself, Mr. Alger.
Why, they've been successful. Of course. Wasn't that what he had been writing about? Of course. Why, they're all here. Perhaps he should make a speech. Perhaps he should.
I'm glad to see you all. Some of you look very prosperous and happy indeed. That's the way I told you it would be, isn't it? That in this land a boy can start anywhere and succeed if only he tries hard enough. Thank you. Thank you for coming to see me. I'm very tired now. You must excuse me. Please.
The faces recede and silently the forms vanish, all but one. And it is growing very dark, perhaps even a little chilly. And on the bed, a man now looking very old smiles a bit, for the last form is before him.
Horatio, take my hand.
He reaches outward. For a moment, his eyes are very bright, and then everything grows very still. It is Cambridge, Massachusetts, in the year 1899, and Horatio Alger is dead. He was buried at the little church in South Natick, Massachusetts. Many came for his funeral. There were little clusters of them.
Bootblacks who knew him when they were boys. Newsboys and older men. Men even beginning to gray, who sat silently at the service, remembering their boyhood and Alger's part in it. Strive and succeed, fame and fortune, from rags to riches. Was it fiction or fact? It happened to people you know, and Horatio Alger was the chronicler of it. There is fame and there is loneliness in his story, but there is success too. For Horatio Alger really wrote his book. His name is a testament to the American dream and the American way of life. Go up to Cambridge and see his picture. It lies in the local historical museum. And then, go for a walk underneath the elm.
You have been listening to Inheritance, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with the American Legion. And now it's our privilege to hear from a National Vice Commander of the Legion, Father Albert J. Hoffman. Father Hoffman.
On November 11th, Veterans Day will be celebrated in the United States for the first time in American history. Formerly known as Armistice Day, in observation of the armistice declared in 1918 between the Allies and the Central Powers in the First World War, this day, from now on, will commemorate the contribution which all veterans have made for their country. The American Legion, which numbers in its membership veterans from two world wars and veterans of service during the Korean hostilities, has been invited by the Attorney General Brownell to cooperate with the United States Department of Immigration and Naturalization in observation of our first Veterans Day by arranging for the naturalization of 50,000 new citizens on that day. It seems fitting that veterans who have in battle secured the precious freedoms which are our American inheritance, should assist those who are about to become new American citizens. From the time of our founding fathers, America has stood as a land of opportunity and freedom. A poem, graven on a tablet within the main entrance of the pedestal of the Statue of Liberty, contains these words of invitation and promise. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Those who yearn to breathe free do still find these shores. The desire for economic opportunity, for political and religious freedom, is as real in the hearts of the communist-dominated peoples today as it was for the early American colonists of Jamestown and Salem who first settled in this land. A precious inheritance bequeathed by our forefathers and secured in this century by the blood of patriots awaits the 50,000 individuals who will, on November 11th, declare, I am an American.
Thank you, Father Hoffman. Next week, Inheritance will again take you on a journey through the pages of American history. Today's story about Horatio Alger was written by Robert S. Green. Tom Shirley was your narrator. Horatio Alger was played by Mandel Kramer. Others in the cast were John Gibson, Treva Frazee, Bob Hastings, Jim Dolan, Beatrice Pons, and Bill Gray. Inheritance was produced by Wade Arnold and directed by Harry Frazee. This is Bill Hanrahan speaking.
Enjoy fine variety entertainment on the Dennis Day Show on NBC.